The gospel for this baptism of our Lord Sunday is found in Luke chapter 3, beginning with the 15th verse. Here we see an episode from the life of Jesus in which he is baptized by John the Baptist. And it connects us to the larger question that we're going to address in the message today. Does life have a purpose? As we look at that question, I want you to reflect upon the significance of Jesus' baptism and our baptism in relationship to it. Listen to this episode from the life of Jesus, recorded in Luke 3. The people were all wondering and waiting expectantly. They were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." These are the words of God for us this baptismal of our Lord Sunday. I invite you to please be seated. It's so fun to focus on that text in relationship to Leighton and Seamus' baptisms today, and really connecting each of us to those baptismal promises of God. And what I want you to do is connect those promises with the question from the Explore God series. Some 800 churches all around the Chicagoland area are dealing with this question today. Does life have a purpose? So we're going to grapple with that, maybe celebrate that, I hope, today. Would you join with me in a word of prayer? Gracious Lord, we thank you so much that, yes, indeed, you do have a plan for us. You have purpose for us. You have created all that is, and when you created it, you said it was good. We are special in your sight, each and every one of us. And each of us is made according to your design with a special purpose. Help us to discover that. Help us to celebrate that. In your name we pray. Amen. Does life have a purpose? Would you watch this video together with me?
Why were we put here? I think everyone wants to know, why were we put here? Why are we on Earth?
My purpose in life is to live a normal life, to be a citizen, a productive citizen.
I don't fully know why I'm here, but I enjoy that. I enjoy knowing that, because then that creates endless possibilities for myself.
Смысл в жизни, я думаю, что в жизни.
I believe it's random, to be honest. I don't think there's a plan. I think you make your own destiny.
Intentar pasar por la vida de la manera más desapercibida posible.
I would like to make a difference, even if it's only in one life. I'd prefer to do more.
Love, happiness, joy, yoga.
I think oftentimes you realize what the purpose was more by looking back than looking forward. In my way, some people plan ahead and know exactly what their life is, what their purpose in life is, in their mind anyway.
I find direction in life by just meditating daily, just coming out here to the beach.
Whether it be spending time with friends or family, or putting some gas in my boat so I can go fishing and catch a few fish, go home, have a fish fry. I live day by day, and I like to take it like that.
society wants you to think that your life's purpose is all about work and making money and moving forward from that direction, but I think that's wrong, and I'm still trying to figure out what's right for me.
I'd say that because I think the meaning of life, in my opinion, is to find something that you're passionate about and use that passion to make the world around you a better place.
我相信每个人的生命中都有一个目标，而且那目标只能在神里面找得到。
I mean, I think everyone has a reason to live. Everyone offers something to this world, whether it be bad, whether it teaches people to be good, or whether they're good themselves. But I think everyone has a purpose on this planet.
So does life have a purpose? Does your life have purpose? So this last week, Shay and I got to spend some time with our three-year-old, almost four-year-old grandson, Remy. And that was precious time. We also got to spend some time with our one-year-old granddaughter, Safira. That was precious time. And today, we get to spend a little time with our one-month-old grandson, Andy, whose parents, Bobby and Dana, brought him to his first worship service here at Good Shepherd, his very first. And so that's special because they're great friends with Joey and Alyssa, and some other Augie friends are here today as well. And we celebrate that great connection. So anyway, this last week, I was spending time with Remy, and one of Remy's favorite activities as a three-year-old, almost four, is to read books. He loves books. And so when I want to really engage with him, I'll say, hey, Remy, do you want to read a book? And he runs and grabs a book, and we read it together. Well, this week, he went and grabbed a book entitled The Why Book. I don't know if you've seen it or not. It's a children's book that delves into such meaty issues as why are bubbles round? Why do people burp? These are big deals for a three-year-old, I'm telling you. Almost four. Why do I sneeze? Why can't I run as fast as a dog? Why do dogs sniff everything? Why do cats' eyes shine at night? Why do skunks stink? Why do baby teeth fall out? Why do I see myself in a mirror? Why do I have to go to bed at night? Why are people different colors? These are big, big, big questions, important issues for a little three, almost four-year-old, and if you were asked to address any or all of those issues, what would be your responses? Well, I had the benefit of having the Why book, which not only posed the question, but it had a full-page explanation for each of the Why questions. There were some 100-plus Why questions with a full-page explanation, and Remy wanted to read the whole book in one sitting. I was never so glad when dinner was arriving. It was a good relief. But one of my favorite questions right before dinner time was the question, why am I special? Why am I special? And in addition to what the book had to say, Remy and I got to spend a little time talking about why he was special. And that, for me, was a pretty special time. So I couldn't help but think, as I'm reading that book and spending some time with Remy and thinking about this subject for today, that there's a pretty big connection between Remy's Why book, Why Am I Special, and our question for today. Does life have a purpose? You see, I believe that in addition to what the Why book had to say about why Remy and each of us are special, the Bible has a whole lot more to say about that subject. The Bible not only talks about that in the context of why each and every one of us are special, but it talks about it in the context of God having a purpose, a plan for our lives. Does the Bible ever talk about that plan? Over and over and over again. In addition to the passages that you see on the screen, The Bible addresses the subject right away in the book of Genesis. Genesis is all about how God created us. And you notice that every time it talks about the creation of God, everything that it describes, how does it conclude? It concludes by saying, it was good. It was good. It was special. God created things good. God created things special. The Bible delves into that. All of creation, good. In Psalm 139, it tells us, God knew us as we were being put together in our mother's bodies. Not only did God know us then, God knows us now. So well does Psalm 139 say that God knows us, that he knows what we think before we think it, what we say before we say it, what we do before we do it, and always in the context of two things. God loves us and knows us that much in the context of his everlasting love for us and his purpose and plan for our life. That's what Psalm 139 says. In Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13, it tells us, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans not to harm you, but plans to give you hope and a future." And then it concludes that section by saying, "You will discover this." In other words, you'll discover my plan when you seek me with all your heart. The book of Ecclesiastes, not just chapter 3, but the whole book, talks about the meaning of life. And although there are parts of it that seem pessimistic, the overall response of the author is, no, God has a plan. No matter how dismal or dark your life may at times come or become, God has a plan. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "What does the Lord require of you but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God?" It's a purpose statement. And in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus' very last words to those of us, those who were there and those of us who read his word, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I've taught you. And lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age." A purpose statement, a purpose for God's life and a purpose God gives for our lives. God thinks we are so special that he entrusts us with that charge and that command. But what about Jesus? How does Jesus fit into this big picture, especially as we think about the baptism of Jesus? Does Jesus have a purpose? Throughout the scriptures, the prophets proclaim it, the gospels proclaim it, throughout all of scripture, it refers to Jesus as the Messiah, the promised one, the Savior. In fact, the name Jesus means one who saves. His purpose. Why would we need a Savior? Because we're captured. We're kidnapped by sin. And we cannot escape it except through the grace and loving forgiveness of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, who came to live, die, and rise again to conquer death and sin. So what does baptism have to do with purpose? Well, I just happened to have some great, great interviews this last week. They're awesome. Because as we talked with you as families, we talked about purpose in connection to baptism. And Joey, you and Alyssa talked about how when you had Layton, you said all of a sudden your purpose in life shifted from just being focused on ourselves to a greater purpose. God had entrusted you with this baby, and now you saw, in your words, you saw a greater purpose for your life. Not only, as one of our parents just said about a month or so ago when they brought their baby home from the hospital, he said to his wife, can you imagine this? He said, "Now all we have to do is keep it alive." I guess that's a purpose statement. You pointed to not only caring for Layton, But you talked about wanting him to be raised in an environment where he knew how much God cared for him and God loved him, and to teach him what it meant to be not only a child of you, Joey, and of Alyssa, but a child of God. And Abe and Jamie, when we talked, families, you know, Leighton is the first in your family. Seamus is number five. You've been through this before. But as we talked, you said, you know, family is really important. You come from a family of big families. It's a big deal. Family is important in the context of living family life in Christ. When we talked about purpose, you talked about the purpose God gives to you as family living in Christ. I love that. I love that. At the 11 o'clock service, we're going to have a baptism as well. And that young family, who is also has their first child, talked about how they believe that when God blessed them with a child, it taught them a new level of love. They believed that they knew what love was. This taught them another level of love and how important it was to help their child discover that love. Not only the love that came from them, but love that comes from God. So, do we have purpose? Well, the weekend before New Year's, Shay and I were with a couple of very dear friends, and we were just kind of reflecting on the past year and thinking about if we were to have any New Year's resolutions, what might they be? And one of our friends, laying on a couch, said, to discover my purpose for living. Well, we burst out laughing because it was such a Charlie Brownish way of saying it, as though she had no purpose. No, just the opposite. She had great purpose. But I think what she meant was, what would be my purpose for living 2019? I know what God has done in and through me in the past, but what purpose does God have in store for me in the new year? One of the things that I love about Good Shepherd is some of the very purpose-filled ministries. In fact, I believe all of our ministries are purpose-filled. One of them was in full action yesterday. We have a fusion ministry here that on Saturdays, once a month, has what they call Buddy Break. Fusion is our special needs ministry. We developed that ministry several years ago when it was discovered that families who have a special needs member, very few of them attend church. Well, 75 to 80% don't. Let's just put it that way. Why? Because it's too hard. Either the building is just not accessible enough, or there's really no programming or inclusivity, no ways to really feel like that person that's a special part of their family belongs or is cared for. Well, we took that seriously because we didn't feel that was right. We also discovered the divorce rate is sky high in those families with a special needs member. And so we've developed this incredible fusion special needs ministry. And during the past several years, Good Shepherd now has quadrupled the number of families that have a special needs family member. It's quadrupled because we took that seriously. We realized, look, there's a special concern here that's important. It gave us a new sense of purpose. And yesterday was Buddy Break Saturday. And there were over 60 kids. That's the largest we ever have had. The program is growing and growing leaps and bounds as more and more people from the community are coming. And those children, those precious children, are discovering yet again, they are special. They are special and we care about them and God cares for them. And so I interviewed some of the caregivers because every one of those 60 plus children had a caregiver of their own, 60-some caregivers, plus the others who were helping with the ministry. And several of them said, you know what? This ministry gives me a special purpose for living. I love spending my time with these children. And it helps me listen to God in a whole new way about how I can share God's love with someone who is truly special and understand more about the special gifts with which God has blessed me. The theme came out over and over again. When you support the ministry of Good Shepherd, as you do so generously, it goes to support ministries like Fusion that are really making an incredible impact in our community in God's love and God's name. So this last week, we had funerals for two of our members. One of them was really, really active and engaged in our community, Dave Wassel. And quite a story. There were about five different witnesses who shared during his service. And they all referred to Dave's former life and the Dave that we knew toward the end of his life. In his former life, Dave didn't believe in God at all. We called it Dave 1.0, or 1.0 Dave. And over and over again, the stories talked about how he was not just living on the edge, he was over the edge a lot of the time. And then talked about the difference in him in his 2.0 life, when he realized that God loved him and cared for him. And he accepted that and believed that. And how he lived his life so much differently. He lived his life with real purpose. And the stories that were told oftentimes referred to the fact that he probably didn't even realize the impact he was having on others' lives. And yet God, through him, through his newfound purpose, was making an incredible difference. The other man is a man from our congregation who battled cancer for 25 years. He defeated several forms of cancer. He did with his doctors and medicines and surgeries. But finally, it was a form of cancer that took his life. The last few years, Charlie wasn't able to leave his house. And so since I go on Thursdays to play indoor softball, one of my passions, up in Schaumburg during the wintertime, I always give Charlie a call because he loves to talk on the phone. And so we talk. I think of it as I'm driving on the phone, hands-free, it's safe, don't worry. As we're going, I like to think of it, with apologies to John Steinbeck, travels with Charlie. That's kind of what I was thinking. And we'd have these great conversations. And over again, Charlie would entertain conversations talking about his purpose. That even though cancer had robbed him of many of his abilities, that he saw purpose in how he was able to appreciate each and every day of life and how much more he cared about and loved his family. His family later on came and told me, we saw purpose in Charlie's life by how bravely and valiantly he fought cancer and the courage with which he battled and the inspiration that he infused us with in that battle. 25 years, the doctors, when he first was diagnosed, never predicted he would ever make it that long. In fact, a much shorter span of time, yet he was granted an extra 25 years, and he lived those years with purpose. Do I have a purpose? Do you have a purpose? You know, perhaps it's simplistic and sounds simplistic, and that's because it is simplistic. I believe this. I believe that when we discover our purpose, we discover true joy. And the way I like to think about that joy, and I know it's simplistic, but bear with me, the way I perceive that joy is Jesus first, others second, and you, yourself, next. Not last, but next. And I say that in the context of the great Shema, God's words in Deuteronomy. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you should love your neighbor as yourself. Not instead of yourself, not beside yourself, as yourself. In other words, God loves us in the context of showing us how to love others. I know there's an old adage that goes something like this. It refers to the J part of joy, Jesus first. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I know in my own life, when I focus on others instead of just being focused on self, those are the moments when I discover the most happiness, the most freedom from the worries that would otherwise plague me and become allow me to become self-absorbed. That doesn't mean that I'm not important. Each of us are. God values each of us. God created each of us special. We are to love God first, but love our neighbors as ourselves. We love ourselves as we love our neighbors. Do I have a purpose? I believe I do. I believe that's what God wants me to believe, and I trust in God's word that that's true. Do you have a purpose? I believe you do. I believe God's word is clear. And I believe that God tells us in his word in ways that go way beyond what Remy's Why book would describe, a much greater, deeper purpose for living. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, thank you so much for creating us as your special creation. No matter what our situation in life, no matter who we are, you had us, each and every one of us, in mind when you created us. From these newborns who have been baptized today to those who've remembered, who've passed into your kingdom this past week, all of us are in your eyes special. You created us good, and you created us with purpose. Help us this day to believe that great truth that comes from you and to help us to live the purpose that we find in you. In your name we pray. Amen.